Good morning. Welcome to this house of worship this morning on our Love Feast Sunday. And I would like to invite all those who are in attendance to stay after the service for our Love Feast. And we're going to move right into that Love Feast right after Matt gives the benediction this morning. And we'll move into the examination and confession part of the Love Feast here in the sanctuary. As far as announcements this morning, I was handed one announcement, and that's for all you ladies here this morning at 9 a.m. this Tuesday. The ladies are going to get together and make some crafts to be sold at the bazaar coming up in November. So if you're able to come out at 9 o'clock Tuesday morning and help make some crafts, you're welcome to do so. Anybody have any announcements?
So you might ask yourself a question. Why would a grown man dress him and his son up like a pumpkin and stand in front of a church? Well, like I told First Service, I have three reasons. First reason is because we love Jesus Christ our Lord, and he tells us to give with a joyful heart, and we have an opportunity through Harvest Home to give with a joyful heart. Secondly, is to remind you that Harvest Home is next Sunday. So bring your non-perishable items in. And then on Friday and Saturday, we'll be here on Saturday morning to set up so you can bring in some perishable items then. And thirdly, because my wife's probably right, there's probably something wrong with me. And Graham has one thing to say. You want to say you're lying? He's not going to do it. His line was, be generous, please.
Thank you. I do want to highlight next Sunday is the 50-year historical celebration and luncheon here at church. And we'll have some of our past ministers will be here and some other activities and also the lunch. You can see that announcement in your bulletin. And there's also one service project for all those who are able to help Saturday morning, this coming Saturday morning, at the Silers. You can help split and stack some wood. It's a good time. Any other announcements? Pam.
I just want to highlight next week at 9:15, beginning at 9:15 here in the sanctuary, rather than having Sunday school sessions for the adults, Tessa Gerbrick's going to be doing a presentation on Nigeria. So we'll meet here at 9:15 in the sanctuary.
I don't see any other anybody raising their hand for announcements. Oh, here comes Matt.
We are hosting a youth event on October 19th, so if you want to mark your iPhones, your devices that you use for calendars, October 19th, we're going to have a hayride after the soup and sandwich sale. So any youth that you have in your lives or any youth here, we want to make note for October 19th, a hayride that's for junior and senior high youth. We'll do some apple bobbing and other type of fall fest events. So come on out, and we'll have a great time together.
Let's turn our hearts and our minds towards worship at this time.
Thank you. At this time, we are consecrating, dedicating the elements, those items which we'll be taking to the nursing homes and to those that are shut in. So let's turn to the Lord to bless these items. Lord Jesus, we just thank you that you have come to this earth, that you have offered your body, you've offered your blood for the payment of our sins. And Lord, we don't take that lightly. We don't take that for granted. But Lord, we align our lives with you, seeking to be a good representation of what you have come to this earth to demonstrate for us to be. So Father, we ask that you would bless these elements as they represent your body and your blood. Amen.
Covenant blood I pour out for you.
you, senior choir, for the blessing of music. What a joyful sound this morning. Thank you. We turn to that time in our service this morning to offer our joys and concerns. We recognize that we serve a God that welcomes our requests for prayer and our joys that we have before him. From the first service, we have Parker Bentfer, who had a tumor removed, and they're waiting on the biopsy results for that. And Dennis Keeney, if you've been following his diagnosis, it does indicate he has liver cancer, and he's in room 741. And we also had a young girl that was diagnosed with cancer, friends of some individuals from school, and also the joy of a birth that's a relation to Michelle Yenser that were given to us for the first service. So we welcome your joys and concerns this morning as well.
I received a phone call for a little girl, 2-year-old girl by the name of Sarah. I don't have a last name, but her name's Sarah, and she has cancer.
And an update on my nephew, Brian Spiker. He does have, he did finally come home yesterday from the hospital. They have the infection under control, but it has, the antibiotic he was taking did cause some kidney damage, and also his insulin level, or he's taking insulin because he became, hopefully only temporary, but his blood sugars were really high from the steroids they now have him on. So still needs a lot of prayers, but he is home.
It's so good to see Anna Mary here this morning. She was in the hospital this week as well, but the Lord's hand of protection was upon her, and we're glad to see her with us this morning as well.
I'd like prayer for all the youth. There's so many terrible temptations out there, that drugs and alcohol and everything else that there is, and pray for all those that are tempted. Maybe that God would put a hand on them and guide them toward us.
Any others this morning? Let's pray. Is there another one? Oh, hello. Yes.
Yes, and Sandy. For John, for his knee surgery this week.
Yes, yes. And that's on Thursday, correct?
I have one for my nephew, Guy Arcieri. He had his third knee surgery this week, and he got home from the hospital and went into they couldn't rouse him. Thank God a therapist came and noticed it and called 911. We thought we lost him there for a while, and he just got home last night from the hospital again. So I asked for continued prayers for his recovery, and hopefully he's past the point now.
Prayers for Jolie Shearer. Many of you know her. She went to Telbahakken, and her family was from Frystown. She has leukemia. She's going through an experimental treatment right now in Philadelphia.
Okay, let's pray. Lord Jesus, you call us to cast our anxieties, to cast our worries upon you. And Father, this morning we have many among us that have been stricken with illnesses, from cancer to leukemia, those that are going into surgery for knee or have had surgery on their knees. And there are those that are at home recovering, but not totally out of the woods yet, so we continue to lift those up to you, Lord, and ask your hand of comfort to be upon them, that you would restore them, that you would bring healing to their body. We thank you, Lord, that you are a God that is very near to us, that during our time of troubles, during our time of sorrow, that you tell us your grace is sufficient. And this morning, Lord, many of us are clinging to your grace. We're asking you to overwhelm us with your grace, that we would be able to see that there is light on the other side of these troubles. But Father, we just lift up the youth in our area. The temptations are great. And we just pray that you would minister to their souls, Lord, that you would show the hope that we have through Jesus Christ to those this day that are struggling with temptation to drugs or alcohol or to the many other temptations that are out there. But Father, we do just rejoice that we have a hope through your Son, Jesus Christ, through this day on World Communion Sunday. We can celebrate that our sins have been forgiven, that when this life ends, we can enter into the kingdom eternal, free of pain, free of sorrow. And so, Lord, we look forward to that time, but while here, we do pray for your special touch upon those that really need it, that really are going through a time that often we question, God, where are you? But we do know that you are amidst us. Your presence is here. So we especially lift up those with leukemia and cancer and those awaiting knee surgery and other surgeries, Lord, the common cold and the flus that are already starting to become rampant in this area, Lord. We just pray that you would allow us to turn to you, Lord, and we would find our strength in you as we become weak. But Lord, we do rejoice this morning knowing that we serve a risen Savior. And we just ask during these next few moments of silent prayer that you would hear the concerns of our heart, you would hear our confessions, Lord, and indeed that we would cling to your forgiveness. Father, we thank you that you are King of Kings and Lord of Lords. We thank you that this is your world that you have created. And though chaotic at times, we know that you have given us a light, you have given us a love to be able to demonstrate. So, Father, I pray that we would be active in our faith. We would be showing others just how much God loves them and desires for them to be in relationship with him. So use us, Lord, to be able to speak hope and to be able to speak truth and to be able to, most importantly, speak love to others. And it's in Jesus' name. Amen.
Christian woman once shared her regret that she once had an opportunity to give to the Lord much more than she presently could, but she let the opportunity pass. Now she planned to use her present opportunity to give all she could. I love him too much to do less. Opportunity missed often brings regret. Opportunity taken brings relief. Let's take this opportunity now to give our monetary offering to provide ministries to others and to support the work of the church. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for opportunities in life to serve others in your name. Thank you for these gifts to be used in your name. Amen.
Thank you. What a joyful sound. Invite any children to come forward this morning for our children's moment. Join me on the steps. Morning, Graham. Morning, Nate. Good morning. So who can tell me this morning what I'm holding in my hand?
An airplane.
An airplane. What would happen if this airplane always stayed in its hangar? A hangar is like its garage. What would happen if the airplane never got to take off? It would become rusty and old, and you'd probably end up changing its engine. That's very observative. An airplane, if its engine's running properly and it's ready to go, isn't meant to stay in its hangar, is it? It's meant to fly, isn't it? So when we accept Jesus into our lives, when we decide we're going to follow Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, we're going to be like this airplane, and we want to send forth love, and we want to send forth comfort to others and show our hope to others. Because otherwise, if we just know what the Bible says and we just kind of keep it inside and we don't ever set soar, it kind of becomes rusty, doesn't it? That's a great way to put it, Nate. Good job. So we want to be the kind of children of God that are taking flight and sending forth what God has given to us through His Son, which is lots and lots of love. So I'm going to give you guys an opportunity this morning. You see that aisle way right there? That looks like a plane takeoff area, doesn't it? Who wants to be our leader this morning? Does anyone want to take the plane as a takeoff? And parents, it's okay. I'm going to give permission for them to run in church. So you're going to take the plane and you're going to just run down. You guys can follow them and run down and take the plane off. But adults, as we sit here this morning, let this be a representation that our love that's deep inside of us, that's so firmly rooted that we know through Scripture, don't contain it. Allow it to fly. So on the count of three, should we have a takeoff on the count of three? The congregation can help us. Ready? One, two, three. Take off and fly. Go ahead, Graham. Go ahead. There they go. The plane is taking off. Telling us how important it is. Okay, you can come on back. Fly on back. How important it is to send our love into this world. And He is coming home and landing. Because it is important for us to have rest and to be able to read our Scripture and to pray. So we're going to do just that this morning. Great job taking off with our planes and giving us an illustration of how important it is to take flight with the love Jesus gave us. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do thank You that we can use a simple plane as an example to be able to say that our faith isn't something that could be kept inside of us. Our faith is something to be shown in love to others. So we just want to thank You so much for these precious children. We want to thank You for the love that they have. And we want to thank You for the way that You bless them, Lord. And we pray that You would continually do so this week. So go with them and to send them forth into this world as lights and as planes of love that You send to them. And it's in Jesus' name. Amen. Thanks very much, guys. Fly back to your seats.
I invite you to turn in your Bibles to James, the first chapter, and we're going to read verses 12 through 18. Blessed is the man who perseveres under trial, because when he has stood the test, he will receive the crown of life that God has promised to those who love Him. When tempted, no one should say, God is tempting me, for God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does He tempt anyone. But each one is tempted when, by his own evil desire, he is dragged away and enticed. Then, after desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin. And sin, when it is full grown, gives birth to death. Don't be deceived, my dear brothers. Every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of the heavenly lights, who does not change like shifting shadows. He chose to give us birth through the word of truth, that we might be a kind of first fruits of all He created.
With the pride of our God. Thank you.
Notice that was the Ohio State band, not the football team. So we are Penn State fans, the majority of us, but we do pay tribute to the Ohio State band for such a miraculous performance. There's one thing in life that's certain, no, not death and taxes. We're talking about the real deal. We're talking about the real McCoys, those who by their actions can back up what they talk. This Ohio State Buckeyes band could talk all they want. They could say their moonwalk is the best ever. They could say they sound as amazing as they did. But until we see it, it's all talk. Words, we know, need to be followed by actions. Otherwise, let's face it, talk is cheap. It's easy to say, I'm a Christian. I follow Christ. I'm a sold-out believer. I read my Bible every day. I pray continuously. And the list of I's could go on and on. But the bottom line is, show me. If our faith is real, we should see it in our actions. I can stand here all day and say I'm the greatest soccer player to walk the earth. I had a flawless hat trick in the game. First of all, you'd take one look at me and you'd be like, yeah, sure, right you were. But if I took it to the field and I competed against skilled players like those Yenser boys, you'd think an entirely different story. By the way, I was a golfer in high school. I wasn't all that great then. I'm still not all that great now. Something about a slice must have been my stance. Reminds me of this golfing story. A man, he had just got home from his golf outing, and his wife asks him, how was your game today, dear? Well, the guy said, I was hitting it pretty hard, but my eyesight has gotten so bad, I couldn't see where the ball had gone. But you're not that old, admonished his wife. Why don't you take my brother along? But he's even older yet, and doesn't even play golf anymore. But the wife replied, he's got perfect eyesight. He could watch your ball. The next day, he teed off with his brother looking on. He swung, it sounded great, and the ball disappeared down the fairway. Do you see it, he asked. Do you see it? Yup, sure do, his brother replied. Well, where is it? Where is it? Peering off into the distance, to which the brother replied, I forget. The memory. The mind is a terrible thing to waste. My son this week was frantic. One day he's looking all over his room for his glasses. He couldn't find them anywhere. He finally leaves his room and walks into another, and lo and behold, there were his glasses. So don't feel age has anything to do with memory. But there is a memory this morning we can't forget. It appears in our scripture passage this morning. We don't know for sure who James was. It was a common name in the first century as it is today. But there's a strong likelihood. This letter was from the best known James in the early church, the brother of Jesus, the strong central leader in the Jerusalem church for the first 30 years. We know that Peter and Paul had gone off around the world, but James stays put in Jerusalem, praying and teaching, trusting that the God who had raised his beloved brother from the dead would complete what he had done. This letter is part of that work written to encourage Christians across the world to face up to the challenge of faith and not just talk a good talk, but walk a good talk. In other words, this morning, live it out. Now, I can't even begin to imagine being Jesus' brother. I mean, you couldn't even attend a wedding. If they ran out of wine, they'd be bringing the water to you, and they'd be like, do what Jesus did, your brother. And you could just hear the comments. They'd look at him and say, James, are you sure you're the brother of Jesus? Water? Really? Just water? And then they'd be like, all right, forget it. Here's 5 loaves of bread. Here's a fish. Do what your brother did with those. Wait, what? James? Really? Are you serious? Still, 5 loaves and a fish. But you can imagine it only had to be worse. I can't even begin to think of what it was like to be the brother of Jesus. It's ironic that the central theme of this letter is patience. James must have had a lot of that. Yet the letter also has a parallel theme of wisdom. James is often referred to as the most obvious writer in the New Testament of what was considered in the ancient Israelite scriptures as wisdom literature. That sifted, that tested, that collected wisdom of those who learned to trust God for everything and to discover how that trust would work out in every aspect of daily life. We learn quickly, don't we, that people are going to let us down, that relationships are going to fall apart. Items are going to break, they're going to become useless, like that plane if left in the hangar that becomes rusty and needs a new engine. We sometimes ask ourselves, is anything everlasting? Is anything permanent? And right here in this letter, James is answering us, saying God and his word are lasting and permanent. We see all across the news people becoming rich and famous. Fine houses, fancy cars, luxurious vacation spots. The celebrity culture paints this crazy picture for us. But a famous, well-known sports hero one day, out for an injury, not knowing how to manage his money, is on the street the next. A flashy wedding for a celebrity to die for that we would love to have ourselves. But then we see they're divorced next. We're in all of these stories, and yet we are seduced by the dazzle of it all, and James is warning against these, both wealth and temptation. Everything James says in his letter flows from the astonishing fact that his older brother, Jesus himself, had embodied new life and forgiveness. It's appropriate that today is World Communion Sunday. We celebrate our love feast after this service. Jesus had hung at the place where new life and forgiveness came bursting forth from God's world to ours. While we realize this, we can often forget that the end result of temptation, when given into, is death. But to those who endure it is the promise of the crown of life. James 1:13, it said, "And remember, no one who wants to do wrong should ever say, 'God is tempting me.'" God is never tempted to do wrong, and he never tempts anyone else either. Verse 14 clarifies this for us. Temptation comes from the lure of our own evil desires. What we hear being said here is that God never tempts us. It's our own evil desires. Verse 12 points to the fact that God blesses the people who patiently endure testing. Afterward, they will receive the crown of life that God has promised to those who love him. There are many kinds of tests. This week seemed to be full of them for my children, and I'm sure many youth in school here today. But there's actually persecution, which many face today. There's fierce temptations, which can strike suddenly when you're not expecting them. Physical sickness or mourning, family or financial troubles, and the list goes on and on. Mechanics, we understand, don't test scrap metal. Mechanics test cars that are going to face adverse conditions. This turns to us this morning if we claim to be followers of Christ. We're not simply supposed to survive. Those who say they follow Jesus the Messiah are supposed to count, to make a difference in the world, whether through quiet, daily witness of a faithful and gentle life, or the chance given to some to speak and act in a way which reveals the gospel to many others. We know this morning that patience and wisdom are needed to cope with these trials and tests. It's one thing to have all the right ingredients to make a delicious meal, but it's entirely altogether another to add them collectively and have a meal to share, to eat with one another. We say we pray, we read the scripture, but it's that act of faith. That act of faith that we show what we believe. It's the main course that the world's been waiting for in great expectation. For the real believers to step up, to show what we believe, to make the meal complete. The gospel message relevant to a lost and dying world. I want you to consider this morning the last non-believer you were with. Perhaps you prayed for them. Perhaps you showed them in some small way God's love. Perhaps you demonstrated that there is hope for that individual. Would they have had any desire to follow in our beliefs had they not seen that? What we understand as believers is oftentimes we get put under a microscope, don't we? Oftentimes as believers, people look at us and they think, oh, we must be perfect. But what we understand is we are human after all, and we will make mistakes. But think about this for a moment. The more we get it right, how that's going to impact our small part of the world. We can easily impress others from a distance if we manage to put our best foot forward for a short time. We can give strangers a really good impression about who we are. But what if our lifestyle looked a lot like Jesus? What if we genuinely loved our neighbors? Can you even fathom the peace that would follow? The hope that we would instill into this world? Here's what happens, though. James tells us in verse 15, these evil desires lead to evil actions, and evil actions lead to death. I believe in the church, we spend entirely too much time focused on sin, when in fact, what I believe we should be speaking more on is the evil desires that lead to them. Our mind, our thought process is an amazing thing. We can conceive more than any other created being on this planet. But out of those conceptions derives the birth of good and evil. Imagine for a moment if we connected on a daily basis our mind and our thoughts towards God. I believe this is what would happen, and it results from verse 17. It says, good and perfect comes to us from God above, who created all heaven's lights. Unlike them, he never changes or casts shifting shadows. You gotta love the imagery here. Heaven's lights, the Father of lights, meaning creator of all the stars. How many of you are fans of being able to stand outside on a beautiful starry night and be able to realize there is indeed a creator God? Is that not one of the most beautiful things here in Berks County? I know I sure enjoy it. But there's the sun. In the morning it rises, and in the evening it sets, and all throughout the day it's casting its shadows from here and to there. But even though the sun may change in its course, God never does. Realize here, James doesn't support astrology in any way whatsoever. He's declaring, he's shouting from the rooftops that God is Lord over everything. Would you say that with me this morning? God is Lord over everything. The question that remains for you and I, do we believe it? Do we believe that God is Lord over everything? You see, it's our mind. It's our thought process. It's those evil desires within that lead to the evil actions. Each of us here this morning are very much aware of what those evil desires are. At the close of the service, we'll pray deeply into those. Because once we start to realize those temptations that lead us to sin, once we start to realize those things in our mind, those weaknesses that cause us to live a life contrary to what God would have, amazing things are going to start to happen. Because I believe when we're focused on God, when our minds, our hearts, our thought processes are focused on God, good and perfect things from God above are going to come. We dare not say God is responsible for our response, or complain that our temptation was too great to resist. Remember this morning, God sends good gifts. James doesn't want us to blame God. James doesn't even want us to blame the devil. He states clearly it is the evil desires within. The Jews called it the evil impulse. Sounds like a movie, doesn't it? Psychologists call it drives. God, hear this, God will not send good one day and evil the next. He is always the same yesterday, today, and forever. His goodness is seen in that he chose to give us birth, meaning new birth by means of the gospel. One choice, one decision affecting our lives forever. Jesus chooses to love us. Now we may sit here this morning and say, but Pastor Matt, I don't feel God's love. God's love's the furthest thing from me right now. But I'm here this morning to remind you that God sent his one and only Son. And his one and only Son, even though he prayed, not my will, but yours be done, he did ask for the cup to be taken. And he chose to die for us. He chose to love us. And I can't think of any other greater news that we can cling to amidst this world of brokenness we live in. Especially on this World Communion Sunday, the bread and the cup, the body and the blood to redeem us as the apex of all creation. Verse 18 goes on to say, to make us his own children by giving us his true word. And we, out of all creation, became his choice possessions. That true word will give us what we need to do what it takes to live for him. It's like this boy walking down the ocean shore and he comes across a woman and asks her, do you follow Jesus? She said, yes, I do. Do you read your Bible every day? Yes, she said. Well, do you pray every day? Yes, I do. And the young boy, he smiled with this great, big, massive smile. And he reached into his swimming trunks and he grabbed a shiny quarter. And he handed it to that woman and he said, good, then hold my quarter while I go swimming. There's an action that followed what she claimed. She was given a quarter in truth and confidence that her actions followed what she said, that she would indeed protect that little boy's shiny quarter. But how about us this morning? We're one nation with one mission, showing God to the world. Can we be trusted to carry out what we believe? Can we be trusted to carry out what we believe? We need to know this morning. God does not have a second plan. We're it. The church is the representation of Jesus Christ. He created us to be his hands and feet. He created us to live out our faith and show our faith in action. Friends, are we willing to take comfort in knowing God gives good and perfect things? And will we walk out our faith trusting him to show brotherly and sisterly love through us to others? We're certain of this, that when God speaks, things happen. Things happen to us. Things happen in us. The word of God is like a medicine which goes down deep inside. It heals our hurts. It changes our inner drive so that we actually become different people. Those in whose lives the word is doing its work are just the beginning. Just the beginning. There's so much more to show. One day, God's word will transform the entire creation, overwhelming heaven and earth with his rich, wonderful light and life. Our lives in the meantime, our lives have opportunity to be changed by the message of the gospel, to learn how to look at the world differently, standing firm against temptation, acting on our faith, and showing Jesus' love to the world. Are we ready? Are we ready? Brothers and sisters, we know ourselves, but God knows ourselves better than we can even begin to fathom. So we're going to turn to him this morning, and we're going to trust him to do a work within us that allows those evil desires within to cease, that we might do those good and perfect, pleasing things that he calls us to do and show our faith to a broken world. Father, we come to you this morning. We confess that we do give birth to evil actions. But Lord, we know that it was on the cross that your Son died and paid the price for our sins. So Lord, this morning we are opening ourselves up to you. We are asking you to search us. We are asking you to try us, to examine us. But Lord, not to let us the same. That those things that are coming to mind even now in this very moment of desires that lead us to fall to temptation, I pray in Jesus' name that they would indeed cease. By the blood that was spilled on the cross, I pray that our actions would indeed demonstrate love, that they would show hope to this world. And Father, there may be some among us here this morning that are struggling, that really don't know how to break the cycle. But Lord, we call upon your great name, your majestic name, and ask that you would break us free, that you would begin to chisel those evil desires about our lives and allow them to break and fall and never to be a part of us again. Because, Father, we know when we start living lives that are passionate, pursuing after you, others are going to see that and want it. But, Lord, we do know we make mistakes and we claim that forgiveness. So when we do fall, we need to get back up. We need to say, Lord, I've made a mistake, forgive me. And we need to move forward in the right path. For, Father, we know we are human and we will make mistakes. But, Lord, we're also redeemed. We are claimed as your choice possession, your children. So, Father, help us to reflect your light to this world. Help us to reflect that love that was given to us on the cross through your Son, Jesus, to those in our circles of influence. Father, I thank you for each person seated here today. This is a divine moment. This is a moment where their lives can be drastically changed forever. But it requires action. It requires being willing to give up that part of ourselves that leads to those evil things. So Lord, continue to search us, continue to know us, and continue to reveal those things that we need to work on. And Father, through your grace, through your mercy, we will fly again. We will move forward with strength, with endurance, with patience, as we go through various trials in our lives. So Lord, we just rejoice this morning, knowing that we are called your children. Thank you for loving us, and we desire to love others. And it's in Jesus' name, amen. immediately following the benediction, those that are remaining for the love feast may be seated for that time of our service. So now the Father of lights, the creator of all good things, the creator of our own inner being, go with us now in peace, sending us forth to proclaim his good news to others, showing love, demonstrating our faith. Go in peace.